T-minus 12 days to the total solar eclipse. Today is Wednesday, March 27th, 2024, and this is episode number 606. Here is your eclipse update today on Weather Jazz.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Weather Jazz, a world audience podcast about anything and everything, weather, science, earth science, and of course, we're focusing on the eclipse. However, I do have something just a little extra before we get into today's eclipse weather update, because that is certainly something everybody is watching very, very closely as we begin to count down and get a little bit closer to the day. But before we do that, I had a question that was posted to me on X, formerly known as Twitter, from Brian Vincent. Now, Brian is going to make reference to a satellite image that he posted, and I will display that image on weatherjazz.com, episode number 606. Go check it out when you have a chance. In it, Brian says the following: looking at the GOES 13 satellite picture, why do we see thicker streams of clouds from the river bays? Now, my response to Brian was, good question. Let me tackle that one this week on my podcast, Weather Jazz. And that's what we're going to do today. But in order to fully appreciate Brian's question, again, go to weatherjazz.com, episode number 606, and take a look at the satellite. And that satellite shows what I refer to as the East Coast Ghost. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you'll take a look at that satellite image, you'll see the East Coast from roughly Bar Harbor, Maine, through Cape Cod, going all the way down to the Chesapeake Bay and down through the Outer Banks of the Carolinas. And you'll notice that, at least initially, the first 100 or even 200 miles of the coast is clear. But then suddenly, you see a blanket of clouds almost mimicking the shape of the East Coast. So what's going on here? Well, the colder air is pouring off of the East Coast, and that cold air is colder than the ocean water temperature. So what's happening is that the cold air is picking up moisture and eventually condensing it in the upper atmosphere above a couple thousand feet in the form of a stratiform cloud deck. Now, this would only occur when the winds are from the northwest and they're much colder than the ocean temperature. This is very similar to what drives lake effect snow here in Northeast Ohio. With cold winds going across a warmer Lake Erie, picking up that moisture and condensing it inland. There are a few other dynamics involved in that, but that's the big one. That's the primary one, and that's what's happening here. But if you take a look at the satellite picture, you'll notice a couple of key spots in that East Coast ghost image or that cloud bank. You'll see some brighter white clouds emanating from some of the bays and some of the inlet areas of the East Coast. Now, I've highlighted a couple of those areas on that image. You can see them, little circles around them, and the projected wind. You see, what happens is that little inlet of water, probably a little bit warmer because it is protected by the landmass around it, and therefore not quite as cold as the ocean temperature out from it. So essentially what you're getting is a head start in the process by which the cold winds are picking up a lot of the moisture from that bay. The warmer the bay water, the more pronounced that effect will be. Take a look at the image. You'll see what I'm talking about. And I've drawn a couple of wind flow lines to help demonstrate just exactly what's happening here. Brian, I hope that answers your question. Great question. And of course, if you would like to send me a question, I encourage that. Send me an email, weatherjazz@yahoo.com, or call me on the Weather Jazz Podcast Audience Connect line, 234-525-5888, and leave me your voicemail. Okay, it's time to talk about the weather for April the 8th. And the very latest computer modeling indicates an interesting little flip-flop. And it seems as though every day to day and a half, the models give an entirely different solution as to what we will see on April the 8th. And that is exactly why I mentioned that all of the computer modeling this far out should be taken with a grain of salt. However, that's not to say that we shouldn't look at them, because the closer we get to the event, the more and more consistent these models will become as we approach the date. They'll start to hone in on the proper solution to, again, the primary force behind these computer models, fluid dynamics. There's just so much input and resolution that we can put into them. So the output, once you get beyond 5, 6, 7, 8 days, starts to break down, and the margin of error becoming much larger. But let's focus on today's computer models. And it seems as though we're flip-flopping a little bit. If you take a look at the projected cloud cover roughly at the time of the eclipse, there are some holes in the clouds in northeast Ohio. How about that? In parts of Indiana, Kentucky, and maybe even New York State and Pennsylvania. Now, if you take a look at the surface relative humidity, you'll notice that the vast majority of the moisture is going to occur in an arch, according to this projection, from Kansas down to the Gulf Coast. And if you look at the surface map, you'll see low pressure developing, right about Ada, Oklahoma, and an extending area of perhaps potentially severe weather from Oklahoma, Arkansas, down to Louisiana. Now, in this particular case, West Texas, Central Texas will probably be in a pretty good spot for this eclipse if, in fact, the cold front has cleared the area, because typically you'll have clear skies. In fact, take a look at the cloud cover map. That's the black and white map that you see on weatherjazz.com, episode number 606. And you'll see that a vast majority of Texas is in the clear. And that's one of the reasons why I mentioned before, my friend Bob Gilmore is going to be in West Texas to get the best possible view of the total solar eclipse as possible. In terms of climatology, it's going to be the best place to be. Whether or not this computer model has a good handle on things, well, time will only tell. That's why it's so much fun to take a look at these and, again, take all of these outside of the plus or minus 5 days with a grain of salt. But we will continue to monitor this as we draw closer and closer to eclipse day. Well, we've chilled down just a little bit. We're seeing temperatures actually going down a little below normal. Right now, here at the Weather Jazz Studios at record time, it's 41 degrees. Normal high temperature at this time of year in the low 50s. So we're about 10 degrees off from normal today. And overall, in the next 7 to 10 day period, it looks like temperatures will occasionally touch normal, probably not too much higher than that, and periodically will go below normal, again, not by a huge amount, but certainly notably to the point where, yeah, you'll notice a little bit of a chill in the air. One more note before we close things, and I will be mentioning this tonight on Fox 8 News at 5 and 6 p.m. We are now beginning to get out of the season where we see the maximum amount of daylight gained per day. That season is basically right around the solstice. We're not past the solstice, so we're going to very, very slowly at first start to see the amount of daylight gained per day begin to decrease. From March 10th until March the 26th, which was yesterday, we gained 2 minutes and 47 seconds worth of daylight per day. That's a significant number. Just in that time period alone, from March the 10th, when you compared the 10th to today, we gained about 30 minutes of daylight just in that 10-day period alone. So things happen fast now during the solstice. Of course, that is in reverse going into the autumn or autumnal period. The period in that zone, basically right around September the 21st-ish, we lose that much daylight per day. But now we're gaining it, and in the last 10 days, we've gained almost 30 minutes worth of daylight. And maybe you've noticed it. However, today, on March the 27th, we are no longer gaining 2 minutes and 47 seconds of daylight. We're now gaining 2 minutes and 46 seconds. But what's 1 second between friends? So that difference really is not going to be seen very, very quickly. But we begin the very slow decline to the point where we no longer gain any time in the daylight. We will have the maximum amount of daylight for calendar year 2024. That will be on June the 20th this year. So on the 21st, we will have lost maybe 2 or 3 or 4 seconds of daylight. Again, we're not going to notice a lot at that time period. The greatest difference in terms of either increase or decrease always around the solstice. And we're in that period right now. Hope you're noticing that we're starting to see more and more daylight, both on the morning side and even more so right now, the evening side. Well, that's our update for today, Wednesday, March the 27th, 2024. Glad to have you along. Make sure that if you know somebody who's really interested in the eclipse, I will be covering aspects of the eclipse from this point right up until the day of the eclipse, April the 8th. And we'll see what the computer models will offer tomorrow. Probably a different solution. But let's hope that the trend, and that's key in this particular case, let's hope that the trend is sunnier and sunnier as we approach April the 8th. Have a great midweek, and we'll catch you tomorrow right here on Weather Jazz.
Weather and science across the globe. Weather Jazz.